to the rock. The rock was melting. You run to the rock. The rock was melting. You run to the rock. The rock was melting, oh, along the
stone witnessing, 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 stone witnessing.
In order to withstand the weather, we had to become stone.
Stone witnessing, witnessing, for a stone, as a stone, as a state of consciousness, is meant to be used in its widest, most inclusive sense.
We had to become stone.
As well as in its deconstructive reach. As a form of testimony in the feminist struggle,
we had to become stone.
It is this related notion of the between, between space, between what can bear witness and what cannot be borne witness.
We had to become stone.
So that rather than merely pointing the witnessing outward, the movement simultaneously point inward, the here there and the elsewhere within here all at once. Who's speaking? Who's listening? How? When? Where? With whom? And with what?
In order to withstand the weather, we had to become stone.
Time is integral to the possibility to think about stones differently. Stones are dynamic if you have a different time scale. But if you're watching a stone, it might not change for you.
Imagine we'd have a consciousness of history based on experience in the temporality of a stone.
Primordial organic things left their rocky forebears, clung to stone solidity, became part of stone themselves. It is harder than you suppose to tell the difference between protozoa and superorganisms, between the five arms of the starfish and the splayed human form. Organic life adheres, multiplies, fades. Yes, humans have always desired the endurance of stone. They scratch a small hole and bury their dead. They place rocks upon their bodies as if to keep the spinning world still. Yet life can hold perdurability only if the bacterial and the human are one. Then you are nearer to stone speed. Then stone can see you. From this vantage, this view so anthropocentered that language fails its imagining, from this lapidary perspective, stone possesses its own life, its own mortality. If stone had a voice, it would be less ponderous than your own. If your hurried heartbeat did not bind you to your swift smallness, you would know the affinity that binds you with the stone.
Imagine we'd have a consciousness of history based on experience in the temporality of a stone.
Imagine we'd have a consciousness of history based on experience in the temporality of a stone.
Imagine we'd have a consciousness of history based on experience in the temporality of a stone.
Direkte Demokratie, da gibt's überhaupt keinen Konflikt mit dem Menschenrecht.
Imagine we'd have a consciousness of history based on experience in the temporality of a stone.
Direkte Demokratie, da gibt's überhaupt keinen Konflikt mit dem Menschenrecht.
Imagine we'd have a consciousness of history based on experience in the temporality of a stone.
Direkte Demokratie. Da gibt's überhaupt keinen Konflikt mit dem Menschenrecht.
Imagine we'd have a consciousness of history based on experience in the temporality of a stone.
Das will ich, das will ich, das will ich.
Imagine we'd have a consciousness of history based on experience in the temporality of a stone.
Direkte Demokratie. Da gibt's überhaupt keinen Konflikt mit dem Menschenrecht. Überhaupt keinen Konflikt mit dem Menschenrecht. Überhaupt keinen Konflikt mit dem Menschenrecht. Überhaupt keinen Konflikt mit dem Menschenrecht.
Imagine we'd have a consciousness of history based on experience in the temporality of a stone.
Überhaupt keinen Konflikt mit dem Menschenrecht. Überhaupt keinen Konflikt mit dem Menschenrecht. Ein Konflikt mit dem Menschenrecht. Überhaupt keinen 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 Konflikt mit dem Menschenrecht.
So today I want to talk to you about walls, brick walls, institutional walls, the master's house, those hardenings of histories into barriers in the present, the master's house, barriers that we experience as physical, barriers that are physical, the master's house, the master's house.
Which a certain man began to build. He poured a foundation and started placing choice stones on the foundation where his plan called for them to be. As the house started to take shape, some of the stones became dissatisfied with the positions in which the master builder had placed them. They began to shift themselves into new positions, according to their own ideas of how the house should be built. Many of them dragged other stones with them into their new positions. Soon, instead of one perfect house, there were many smaller, unevenly spaced houses, which more closely resembled mere piles of rocks. Some of the new piles were not even on the foundation at all. Instead, they called to the others to be more open-minded about their positioning. The other piles adamantly insisted that each of them was more closely aligned with the master builder's original plan, and that all who were not joined with them were not part of the same building. When the man saw these stones had aligned themselves differently, he took hold of them and pulled on them to move back in line with his blueprints. Each stone he touched steadfastly refused to be moved. Though he pushed and pulled and worked very hard, those stones were convinced that they had come up with a much better design. At last, he grasped a rod of iron which he kept nearby and smashed the recalcitrant stones into powder. The powder was then cleared away and mixed with the cement which was to fill in the cracks between the newer stones which the builder brought to replace them.
I want to think here of how what we come up against can also have a history that has become concrete. A history can become hard as stone. When stones are piled together, they form walls, banging your head against a brick wall. The sore point of repetition. When you come up against the same thing over and over again. When you complain about sexism or racism,
A wall comes up. But the brick wall is hard, in other senses too. In physics, hardness refers to the resistance of materials to change under force. A wall, and I'm thinking of an actual wall here, is made out of hard material. Say you throw something against the wall, a little object. You can witness the hardness of the wall by what happens to what is thrown. A wall might be scratched at the surface by encountering such an object. The object might splinter and break by the force of what it comes up against. Bodies can be those little objects hurled against walls, those sedimented histories, the materiality of resistance to transformation. You encounter the materiality of resistance to transformation if you are trying to transform what has become material.
To come up against that which keeps standing. To come up against that which keeps standing. To come up against that which keeps standing. Withstand the weather, we had to become stone.
Hardening doesn't erase what made hardening necessary.
Die Frage der Universalisierbarkeit der Menschenrechte stellt sich bereits zum Zeitpunkt ihrer Ausrufung.
So it follows immediately in my mind that human beings who are the subject of human rights must be the authors of what those rights are and must be the primary actors in realizing those rights. So to the extent that what we have been doing so far is marginalized major sections of humanity from the exercise and the process of defining what human rights are and of realizing them, the very pretense that we can defend other people's human rights is really an affront to the claim of universality.
Zwar verweist die Erklärung der Menschen- und der Bürgerrechte von 1789 über Frankreich hinaus auf den Menschen an sich als Träger der proklamierten Rechte, und zwar einzig und allein aufgrund seines Geborenseins als Mensch. Doch schon der Titel der Erklärung, in dem Mensch und Bürger als Rechtsträger in eins fallen, verrät die Aporie der Menschenrechte.
These are the rights of the human. They are not the rights of the citizen. If human rights are the rights of the human, then there will be the entitlement of refugees. There will be the entitlement of migrant workers.
The human is a normative category that indexes access to power. To be humanized means you are given a number of privileges.
If human rights are the rights of the human, then there will be the entitlement of refugees. There will be the entitlement of migrant workers.
Durch die in der Erklärung angelegte Identität von Mensch und Bürger all jene aus dem Bereich der Rechtsträger ausgeschlossenen, denen ein Bürgerstatus verwehrt wird. Denn das konkrete Subjekt, das sich auf die aus der menschlichen Natur entsprungenen Rechte berufen kann, ist nicht etwa der abstrakte, sondern der vergeschlechtlichte, rassifizierte und sozial privilegierte Mensch.
These are the rights of the human. They are not the rights of the citizen. The point is that all the voices that should have had a say in what is missing are the ones who are missing.
Was I human?
Die Inklusion von Frauen in den Geltungsbereich der Rechte scheint so nur durch Übernahme des hegemonialen Verständnisses der Menschenrechte und das heißt um den Preis der Markierung und Verwerfung des rassifizierten, nicht aufgeklärten Anderen auf Grundlage der Konstruktion und Hierarchisierung von Differenz denkbar.
1971 erhielten die Frauen in der Schweiz endlich politische Rechte. Die Abstimmung darüber wurde nötig, weil die Schweiz die EMRK ratifizieren wollte. Ohne das wäre die Abstimmung nicht durchgeführt worden. Und ohne Frauenstimmrecht hätte man die EMRK nicht ratifizieren können.
Die Dialektik von Inklusion und Exklusion zeigt sich nicht zuletzt darin, dass die Ausrufung der Menschenrechte historisch mit der Transformation der bürgerlichen Republiken in Kolonialreiche zusammenfällt. Empire and the Enlightenment developed hand in hand. Während sich die Idee der Menschenrechte in Europa immer weiter ausbreitet, werden die Kolonien schlicht zu extrajuridischen Räumen deklariert, in denen die universelle Geltung der Menschenrechte 1791 per Dekret außer Kraft gesetzt wird. Die Universalisierung in Europa entstandener Ideale führe geradewegs zur Konsolidierung der europäischen Herrschaft über die Welt. Die Grundlegung eines neuen Weges erfordere daher zwingend eine Kritik des Universalismus und des essentialistischen Menschenbildes der Aufklärung.
In contrast, advocates argue that as gifts of European enlightenment to the world, human rights, secularism, transnational justice, international law, enable the globe's silent majority to find its voice.
All the voices that should have had a say in what is missing are the ones who are missing.
The normative dilemmas faced by post-colonial societies and post-colonial states vis-à-vis the legacies of European colonialism. On the one hand, human rights, transnational justice, international law, which are the embodiment of Enlightenment ideals, are repeatedly mobilized to justify intervention in non-Western contexts and in some ways violate the sovereignty of post-colonial states.
So that we keep replicating the European epistemology, European models of thinking, European production relations and everything. If you want modernity, if you want to be counted among really civilized nations, this is what you have to do.
The reason is that human rights have become the moral argument for the liberal project. It's an ideology and an argument that seeks to refine political democracy, the rule of law, individual rights, constitutionalism, and free markets, all in that bundle. You take it together or leave it. The human rights have come to be seen as a tool to justify a new imperialism by the West over darker peoples.
Capitalism has a structural foundational force of human rights violations. Human rights are about the right to be different. How to realize a shared understanding of what human rights are in the reality of the fundamental difference that we share also, which in itself, by the way, a human rights principle and dimension. Human rights are about the right to be different.
The West has been accused of being guilty of the same abuses of human rights that it condemns other states for perpetuating.
Human rights are about the right to be different.
Being guilty of the same abuses of human rights.
Human rights are about the right to be different.
Being guilty of the same abuses of human rights.
Human rights are about the right to be different. Human rights are about the right to be different.
In order to withstand the weather, we had to become stone.
Imagine we'd have a consciousness of history based on experience in the temporality of a stone.
Stones might be willing or not. At one level, stones appear as willful, insofar as willfulness is often related to being obstinate and unyielding. But of course, its hardness, its tendencies, allow us to do certain things. We might assume the stone as a willing participant if we use a stone as a hammer. Our hammering might depend on the stone. Our will might be distributed across a field of action that includes the stone. But we should not find agency only in agreement. That is an all too human tendency that I have been grappling with. To assume yes as a sign of being willing, a sign that is taken up as the giving of permission to proceed. This is one way we tend to go wrong. It is not that from the point of view of the hammer, everything is nail, but that the hammer is already a human point of view. The hammer is stone given the form of human intention. Perhaps stones are willing in as much as what they do not let us do, in how they resist our intentions. They can be checking powers, reminders that the world is not waiting to receive our shape. Perhaps then they grab our attention. We might need to lose the hammer to find the stone.
Dividing what childless did, for I did space. Space breathes, separates, separates into you, into you, into you, to you, to you, to you, to you, to you, to you.
Imagine we'd have a consciousness of history based on experience in the temporality of a stone.
In order to withstand the weather, we had to become stone.
Think of the stone butch in lesbian queer history.
Why is a stone butch called a stone butch? And what does that do to the affective and emotional realms that are afforded to her and the ones that she might consider her own?
Think of the stone butch in lesbian queer history.
A history of those who become unyielding as a way of surviving. A history of those who might have to protect themselves by becoming stone. A history of those receiving pleasure by giving pleasure without receiving pleasure. A history of those who might have to protect themselves by becoming stone.
Hardening doesn't erase what made hardening necessary.
They want to be the Reagan to my body's Berlin Wall, but my stoneness is not something waiting to be torn down, and the other side of that wall is not a bleak state in need of upkeep.
Hardening doesn't erase what made hardening necessary.
Here, the stone becomes a willful gift, a quality we can assume. If we think of ourselves as stony, we are not simply bringing the stones back to ourselves. We are showing how human bodies cannot be made exceptional without losing something. how we matter by being made of matter. Flesh, bone, skin, stone, tangled up, tangled in. The entanglement of stone and skin matters. Skin too. Skin like stone is capable of receiving impressions.
Rock was melting, you ran to rock. The rock was melting all along the day. You ran to the rock. The rock was melting, you ran to the rock. The rock was melting, you ran to the rock.
All of our waste, which we dumped on her and which she absorbed, and all our beauty, which was hers first and which she gave to us, all of us, all who knew her, felt so wholesome after we cleaned ourselves on her. We were so beautiful when we stood astride her ugliness. Her simplicity decorated us. Her guilt sanctified us. Her pain made us glow with health. Her awkwardness made us think we had a sense of humor. Her inarticulateness made us believe we were eloquent. Her poverty kept us generous. Even her waking dreams we used to silence our own nightmares. And she left us and thereby deserved our contempt. We honed our egos on her, padded our characters with her frailty, and yawned in the fantasy of our strength.
The rock was melting, you ran to the rock. The rock was melting, you ran to the rock. The rock was melting.
Damage can be understood as a form of reception. Audre Lorde writes, "In order to withstand the weather, we had to become stone, and now we bruise ourselves upon the other who is closest." Social forms of oppression, racism, the hatred that creates some bodies as strangers, can be experienced as weather. They press and pound against the surface of a body. A body can surface or survive by hardening. For some bodies, to stand is to withstand. Or sometimes you can only stand up by standing firm. A stone too can be more or less hard. Hardening does not eliminate what made hardening seem necessary, that sense of being too soft, too repetitive, too willing to receive an impression. Hardness is a relative condition, even when we try and relate differently to a condition. What we become to withstand can become something that hardens us from others, those who might be closest, who might too have to survive the weather.
Please hide me, run to the rock. Please hide me.
We can damage each other in how we survive being damaged.
All on that day, but the rock cried out, "I can't hide you." The rock cried out, "I can't hide you." The rock cried out, "I ain't gonna hide you there." All on that day.
But the rock cried out, "I can't hide you." The rock cried out, I can't hide you. The rock cried out, I can't hide you. The rock cried out, I ain't gonna hide you. All on that day, I said, rock, what's the matter with you? Rock, don't you know I need you, rock?